Hey guys, and welcome back to the Beyond the Scale podcast. I hope everyone's well. It's Wednesday afternoon, and we've had a week off from the UFC, from all MMA, in fact. No, we had a boxing, could you call it boxing? Whatever that was at the weekend between Anderson Silva and Tito Ortiz, Vitor Belfort, and the old man that is Evander Holyfield at the tender age of 58 years old getting knocked out. It wasn't nice to see, to be honest. But Anderson Silva still looks class, still move as well, still looks quick, powerful. So good to see him get another win. And to be honest, I don't particularly like Tito Ortiz. He's a bit of a smart arse. So it was good to see. Interestingly enough, Tito Ortiz put up a video saying that on the flight home, Anderson Silva gave up his first class seat for Tito Ortiz's wife, which shows you the class of the man. He's a good dude. So good to see him get another victory. And interested to see where he goes here. Does not look in any way, shape or form like he's 46 years old. And also we had Vitor Belfort take on Evander Holyfield, which Vitor Belfort won in the first round. He knocked him out. Thank God the referee stepped in when he did. And Vitor Belfort celebrated like he just won a world title, which he never has. To be honest, it was all a bit cringy. Interested to see what happens next. So the fact I'm even saying that means I do have an interest in it somewhere. I would like to see Anderson Silva take on Jake Paul. I know Jake Paul's been calling out Jorge Masvidal, but Dana White won't let him fight out of his UFC contract. Just by the fact that he might get beat and it wouldn't look good for the UFC. So, but that kind of thriller boxing series continues. But yeah, great to have a UFC card back in this weekend. We've got the main event of Ryan Spann taking Anthony Smith, which is the UFC Apex. Who we got in the card? Firstly, just looking down the list, we've got Emily Whitmire, who's 4-4. She takes on Hannah Goldie. Emily Spit Whitmire, she's 30 years old, 5'5", fighting out a syndicate in MMA. Her last time out, she got beat by Poliana Viana versus Armbar, lost to Amanda Ribas by rear naked choke, and then before that beat Alexandra Albu. 2-2 in the UFC. This is why you should do research, because I'm counting them as I see them, and every time I scroll down the page, I get one more. Okay, so she's had a few more fights in the UFC. She takes on Hannah Goldie, who is 5-2. Jesus, the biceps in her. She is 29, 1 inch shorter at 5'4". She's fighting out of Winter Springs. She has only had 2 fights in the UFC, of which she's lost both. One to Diana Bilbita and Miranda Granger. She comes off Contender Series. She's a boxer. I think Emily Whitmire should have this one. I've seen her a few times out and she looks pretty good, if not very inconsistent. Hence the record, 4-4. But I'm going to take Emily Whitmire on that one. Next up, we've got Gustavo Lopez, who's 12-6, taking on Heli Alanteng, who's 14-8-1, fighting out of China. Firstly, we'll just dive into Gustavo Lopez, who's 12-6. He has had 3 fights in the UFC. Last time out, he got finished by Adrian Yanez, and he's got a decision loss in his record to Mirab Dvalishvili. So he's fighting good people. Even to get a draw with Mirab means he's got something about him. He's fighting out of extreme culture. 32, 5'5", and this is at bantamweight. Based on other podcasts I've been listening to, I don't know these guys personally, but it is going to be a bit of a barn burner. You can tell that by the records, win-loss, they kind of go out in the shield. He takes on Heli Altang, who's fighting out the Mongolian Knight. It's a good name. He's 5'5" also, out of China and Mongolia. He has had he's 2-1 in UFC, beating Ryan Benoit and Dana Batgirl. Last time out, he was against Casey Kenny, which he lost that by a decision. So again, the guys have pretty decent records in the UFC and have fought pretty good competition. So I expect this to be a decent fight at bantamweight, which is just stacked full of talent. And next on the list, you've got Impa Kasanganai taking on Carlston Harris. This is at welterweight, so this is Impa's second time out at welterweight. If you don't know who Impa is, he is the gent that got ninja kicked by Joaquin Buckley and probably was the most viewed UFC knockout in history. It's absolutely viral. It's the only mistake he has done in the UFC is hold on to that foot just a little bit too long. Impa is fighting out of Sanford MMA as of recent, who are just full of killers in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is at welterweight. As I said, he's 5'11" with a reach of 75. Last time he is out, he won a rear naked choke over Sasha Palatnikov. And before that, Joaquin Buckley. And then he won two before that. So he's 3-1 in the UFC. And to be honest, the Joaquin Buckley, that's a bit of a once-in-a-lifetime, bit of a moonshot, probably. Definitely. Never going to happen again. Not to Impa, anyway. But yeah. Impa's looked good in the UFC so far. He's quite well-rounded. Reminds me of Kamaru Usman. Not only in the physique and some of the way he kind of is well-rounded and everywhere. And he takes on Carlton Harris, who is fighting out of, and I do not recognise that flag, Ghana. He is on a 4-fight win streak. Only one of which was in the UFC versus Christian Aguilera, not Christian Aguilera. He is fighting out of Henevaco team, which is based over in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Welterweight, 6 foot, both reasonably tall guys for the division. He's 34. He's got a victory over Michel Pereira and Wellington Turman on his record. So he's fought some good competition outside of the UFC as well. But I think Impa's going to be too strong for him. He's going to be too powerful, too quick. His wrestling's too good. I think Impa will just be a little bit better everywhere. And I think that'll be shown in the fight. After that, we've got Erin Blanchfield, who's 6-1, taking on Sarah Alpar, who's 9-5. This is it. It's at flyweight. Blanchfield is 6-1, fighting out in New York, 22, very young, 5'4". First fight in the UFC, although she does have a few good victories. Kay Hansen on her record, Victoria Leonardo, who are both UFC contenders just now. She does have a split decision loss on Tracy Cortez, but even the fact it was a split decision means she's fighting top tier talent. I've heard good things about her so far. Middle name, or nickname should I say, is Cold-Blooded, Cold-Blooded Blanchfield. 6-1, she is taking on Sarah Alpar, who's 9-5. She's fighting out of Texas, US born and bred. She came off the Contender Series with a rear naked choke of a Shana Young. She's taking on Jessica Rose Clark. No, her last time out, she lost to Jessica Rose Clark. This time out, she's fighting Erin Blanchfield. Win-loss record. She did go on a win streak on 3. Based on what I've heard and what I've seen so far, I am going to take Erin Blanchfield in that one. This is a big fight card. Before I started speaking, I didn't quite realise the depth of this fight card. There's 15. We could be here a while. After that, we've got Montel Jackson take on JP Byes. Montel Jackson, I remember him for his decision loss. It's not good when you remember somebody for the loss against Brett Johns on Fight Island. He's actually got quite a few victories in the UFC. He's 5-4-2. Only losing to Ricky Simone and Brett Johns. Got some good victories on his record. Beat Brian Boom Kelleher versus Darce Choke. Brian himself's good at jiu-jitsu, and he also beat Andre Sukumta by the unanimous decision. So he's got a pretty good record, as I say. He's fighting out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, probably all of, and the name's escaping me for now. That'll come back to me. 5'10", fighting at bantamweight. This is big for the division. Taking on JP Buys out of South Africa. 9-3 himself, 5'5", so big height difference there. 5 inches in height he's given up to Montel. He's fighting off Extreme Couture, producing some great talent. The guy's over at Extreme Couture just now in Las Vegas. He's had only one official fight, which he lost to Bruno Silva. Again, another contender series guy. This card seems to be full of them. He is 9-3. Some good guys coming out of South Africa. You've got Dricus du Plessis and a few others in the card. So I will take Montel Jackson in this one. Other few fights in the card, we've got Nicholas Motta, who's 12-3, taking on Cameron Van Camp, who's 15-5-1. We've also got Dakota Hairy Bush, probably the best nickname in MMA. Dakota is 8-3. He lost last time out versus Austin Hubbard. He takes on Zhu Rong out of China, who's 17-4. This fight goes down at lightweight. 5'9" out, fighting out of Tibet. Got a lot of decisions, he's got a lot of everything on his card, if I'm being honest. A lot of KOs, a lot of rear naked chokes, looks well versed all over the octagon. After that, we've got Penny Kianzad versus Raquel Pennington. Penny Kianzad, I watched her on the Ultimate Fighter a few years ago. She's 15-5, fighting out of Sweden. She's looked impressive in the UFC so far. She's on a four-fight winning streak, taking on Jessica Rose Clark, Betch Cohera, Sarge Eubanks, and Alexis Davis. The only loss in the UFC officially is to Julie Avelia. She actually got beat by Macy Chiazon in the Ultimate Fighter final, but she did look good throughout, and she's pretty well-versed in every position. She is originally Iran, but fighting out of Copenhagen in Denmark. So she's only 29, 5'7", fighting at bantamweight. Looks impressive, and I think she could go quite far in the bantamweight division, should I say. We've got taking on the veteran that is Raquel Pennington. I feel like she's been around for a long time in a lot of fights, but in actual fact, her record is 11-8, fighting out of Colorado Springs. She's 5'7", so it's the same height. Kind of win loss, but the caliber of people she's been fighting is so much higher. She's got a loss versus Amanda Nunes, Holly Holm, but she's also got victories over Misha Tate, so a former champion, Irene Aldana, who's in the mix for the belt just now, and Marion Renault. So yeah, she's fought top people. It's not always went her way, and when it has, it's usually been a unanimous decision, but she's a grinder, man. Like, I was watching her against Nunes a few years ago, and she was saying she wants to get out, she wants the corner to pull her out, but her coaches didn't. They wanted her to be back in there, and it's quite contentious. She's fought the who's who. Just looking down her record, she's fought Roxanne Modafferi, Jessica Andrade, which is crazy because they're such a height difference, but I guess Andrade is up a bantamweight just now anyway. 11-8 her record is. I think this is Penny Kianzad's time to shine. I think Pennington's day has potentially been. So next on the card, we've got Tafon Nchuku. I watched him in the Contender Series, and I've watched all his UFC fights so far. He looks really, really impressive. He's not got many fights on his name. He's 5-1. But he did look quite impressive against Jamie Pickett. he did lose a majority decision versus John Yungon Park. He just got out wrestled at that one. This guy's just pure power. His head kick knockout in the contender series was probably one of the best in the whole season. So he's definitely a powerhouse. He's 6 foot, fighting out of Cameroon. It looks like he could be a heavyweight, this guy. And he takes on Mike Rodriguez, who's 11-6, at 6'4". So he has got 4-inch height advantage. He also has a reach advantage too. He's fighting out of Joe Lozon mixed martial arts. Don't think his record truly gives a reflection of how good Mike Rodriguez is. If you remember correctly, Ed Herman, he actually got finished by Mike Rodriguez, but for some reason the referee thought it was a low blow and therefore stood them up, gave him time. Ed Herman then got him in a Kimura and beat him. Last time out, he got beat by Danilo Marquez in their rear naked choke, so that seems to be his Achilles heel. But that being said, he still does have a few victories in the UFC, and the one against Mishan Prisciano, he looked very good. And he got a 50k bonus that night using great elbows in the clinch. But this should, by all accounts, stay on the feet. They're both strikers, so I think it'll be quite an exciting one to watch. And I can't see this going the distance, to be honest. And this one, I'm going to take Mike Rodriguez. I think he'd be too good for Nchuku. He's got more experience. He's got 17 fights in comparison to Nchuku's 6. Next on the card, we've got Joaquin Buckley, the man with probably the best UFC knockout in history. He is 12-4 so far. He is fighting out of Finney's Hit Squad. Can't say I've heard of that one. Born in St. Louis, Missouri. Him and Tyron Woodley both. He is 5'10", fighting at middleweight. He's got victories in the UFC over Jordan Knight and Impa Kisangani. But in the same sentence, he's also got defeats to Kevin Holland and Alessio De Jericho. So he seems to not always turn up on the night. He's got the skills, that's for sure. The striking's quick, he's powerful. Got all the attributes to go far in the welterweight decision, but it's going to come down to whether he shows up or not. He's still 27, so he is young, especially at middleweight. He takes on Antonio Arroyo, who's 9-4, and he's got 2 losses in the UFC so far. And he's only had 2 fights. 1 to Andre Muniz and 1 to Darren Wynn, who are decent fighters in their own right. But based on the opponents he's faced so far that he's lost to, I think this is going to be quite an easy victory for Joaquin Buckley here. I think he's going to knock him out by a head kick. Next up, we've got Nate Maness versus Tony Gravely. Nate is 13-1. This goes down at bantamweight. He is 2-0 and he's in the UFC so far with wins over Johnny Munoz and Luke Sanders. He takes on Tony Gravely, who seems to be been around for forever. He's 21-6. He's 5'5". He's had quite a few fights on the regional scene. He's got wins over Chris Moutinho, who, if you remember, he fought Sugar Sean. His name just wasn't coming to me there. He knocked him out, which Sugar Sean couldn't do. So he's got skills in the feet, but he's also got quite a few rear naked chokes on his record also, with a loss to Patrick Mix along the way. He's lost to Mirab. Ricky Bandy has Pat Sabatini. He's got quite a few losses on the record, but a lot of experience. He's had 27 fights, and on that basis, I'm going to choose Tony Gravely. Next up, you've got Armin Tarukian taking on Christos Gagos. Armin Tarukian is 16-2. He's fighting at lightweight. This guy's a killer. He's 5'7", so quite small for the weight division. But he's thick and he's pretty well-rounded. He has got victories already in the UFC over Olivier Aubin-Mercier, Matt Frivola and Davy Ramos. And has fought and lost to Islam Makhachev, which it's not embarrassing going to decision with Islam. We know how far, we know the kind of ceiling, his ability. He could be a potential next champion. So Aaron does have skills. I think this will be quite a comfortable victory for him. And he takes on Christian Kyrgios, who's 19-8. Last time out, he's got quite a few fights in the UFC as well. He's taken on Charles Oliveira, got choked out by him. Wins over Carlton Minos, Hamir Hazovic, Damir Hazovic. The fact he's lost to Jacare Clos, I think Tarukian is just too high level for him and he's just going to outclass him. Next up, we have Mandy Baum taking on Ariana Lipski. Mandy Baum's fighting out of Germany. You don't see much German fighters in the roster at all, so it's good to see a German woman especially. She is 7-0 with a clean winning streak. She first fight in the UFC, but she came over from Bellator and she got some good wins on her record, so excited to see where she goes. 5'6" fighting out of Germany, and she takes on Ariana, Queen of Violence, Lipski, who got beat by Jojo Cordova a few years back. She's quite a number of fights in the UFC. Again, 5'6". She has dropped her last two to Montana De La Rosa and Antonina Shevchenko. She also lost to Molly McCann and Jojo Cordova, so she's fought quite experienced competition. But again, she's fighting an unbeaten person in Mandy Baum, and she'll be keen to prove what she can do in the UFC and kind of make her stamp on it. In the co-main event, you've got Ion the Hulk Kutilava taking on Devan Clark. Ion Kutilava fighting out of Moldova. For anyone who doesn't know Kutilava, he's a bit of a madman. He just loves to get in there and scrap. He's actually dropped a few recently. And Magomed Ankalaev twice, he got beat by him. This is when he was playing rope-a-dope with the referee, pretending he was hurt. He's also lost to Glover Teixeira, but has a good victory over Khalil Roundtree and Luis Enrique da Silva. Feels like he's been around for a while. His first fight in UFC was back in 2016, so he's been with the UFC for a while. If he's just stayed a bit more technical and not as frenzy, brawl, thirsty, he'd be good. He's definitely a finisher. He's either getting put out or putting somebody out. So excited to see Ion Kutilava back in there. And I had a look on his Instagram. He's looking in fucking shape just now. He's looking shredded. He takes on Devan Clark, who is 12-5. They are both around about 20th in the rankings in terms of light heavyweight. Devan Clark, last time out, got beat by Anthony Smith. It's got wins over Alonzo Menifield, Darko Stozic, but losses from Big Jan Blachowicz, Rakic, Ryan Spann, and Anthony Smith. So he seems to drop fights to some people higher up, that higher caliber fighter. He doesn't seem to be able to get the victories over. Quite excited for this fight. I love watching Ion Kutilava. He's an exciting fighter, so I'm sure that'll be good. And he takes on Brown Bear Devan Clark. And for the main event, we have Anthony Smith taking on Ryan Spann. So I'll just start on Anthony Smith. Firstly, the guy is like 31. No, he's 33. I feel like he looks ancient. If he's been fighting forever. I like him, he's well spoken. As you can tell, he's educated. He's probably going to work on the analyst desk going forward. 6'4", but he just looks so undersized compared to Rakic. When last time he fought a kind of top caliber guy. Since then, he's fought two people in Jimmy Crute and Devan Clark. Devan Clark, he finished by a triangle, and Jimmy Crute was a doctor stoppage. This is where Jimmy Crute kicked Smith and buckled his leg So I think the UFC are keen to try and build him back up or build people using his name. He does have some good fucking wins on his record. So he's beat Rashad Evans, Mauricio Shuganhua, Volkan Uzdemir, Gustafsson. Obviously fought John Jones, so he's fought over 50 fights, I think. Yeah, 35 and 16, 51 fights he's got. He's had two stints in the UFC. Black belt in jiu-jitsu. Good on the feet. He's got power. He's got power. He kind of lures you in with that 1-2, and he hits hard. He's never really been the same since... That's not true, actually. He has in his last two, but since someone broke into his house... which, if anybody has seen the video, it's pretty surreal. And on the other side of things, you got Ryan Spann, who last time out, I believe, was against Johnny Walker. Just checking. You're a big guy for light heavyweight. He's 6'5", big reach as well, 81.5 inches. He fights with or out of Said Saif's Fortis MMA in Dallas. Last time, I was wrong, he actually won and he beat Misha Surkinov versus Ground and Pound in the first. It was before that he got beat by Johnny Walker. And he was on a bit of a roll before the loss to Johnny Walker. He won 1, 2, 3, 6, 8 before that. And he actually used to fight in middleweight. I could see a loss in his record to Robert Drysdale via rear naked choke. He has got quite a lot of guillotine chokes on his record, so I think Anthony Smith's jiu-jitsu will be too high level for him to leave his neck hanging out there by Ryan Spann. But I think this would be a bit of a brawl. Anthony Smith tends to keep it on the feet, unless he's winning, unless he's losing. Both big guy, 6'4", 6'5", for the weight class. I think Spann will have something to prove, and there was a bit of tension there in the build-up. So I'd be interested to see who the favourite is in this fight, actually. It doesn't give me the odds here, but in future, I will come prepared. That is the card, guys. I hope everybody enjoys it. And next week is a big one. You've got Brian Ortega taking on Alex Volkanovski, which is a great fight. There is the Romero Phil Davis card on at Bellator as well, and Neiman Gracie fighting, so pretty decent weekend of fights. You've got Saul Rogers fighting on that card as well. And just to cap off, there's a few interesting fights being released tonight from Ariel Helwani. You've got Demetrius Johnson fighting in Muay Thai against Rod Tang, which will be class. That's on the 5th of December. Can't wait for that one. Rod Tang, check him out. Brilliant. And then there's a rematch in MMA. Yeah, special rules. That'll be interesting. I think John Lineker's back fighting on against Bibiana Fernandez as well on that card on December the 5th. So that's it for me. I hope everybody enjoys fights this weekend. You've got 15, you've got a long day. Good for some, bad for others. I wouldn't like to be the commentator on that, speaking for that length of time. It just seems a bit tedious, but hope everyone enjoys the card and take care.